Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll chant together verse 50, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, chapter 10, and then we'll go back and it's Leela. Agrahit Asanam Bratra. Pretty good. Pranipatya Prasaditaha. Praja Svadharma Nirata. Varnashrama Gunavitaha. Jugo pa pritravad ramo. Meni re pitaram chatam. Translation. That was text 50. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father. And the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. So this is the coronation event in one verse. And going back to text 30, just flip the pages and it goes. Text 30 is the beginning of Ram's journey back to Ayodhya. And just preceding his going back is the funeral. Vibhishan performs the funeral for his brother and the whole Rakshasa army that's now deceased. And he doesn't have nice things to say about them. The foolishness of their position that brought about their death. But then he concludes by saying, by performing the prescribed funeral ceremonies, it will save them from the path to hell. So, properly performed Vedic ceremonies have power, because otherwise, Adho gacchanti tamasa. So the next verse, there's a lot of things that happen in between. The next verse, thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Shimshapa in a forest of Ashok trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Lord Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. I'm sure her eyes and every other part. So the next thing, the next verse is describing Vibhishan beginning to rule, given the throne. So, of course, in between, Ramchandra having now redeemed Sita, stands at a distance. And Sita doesn't know what to make of that. This is saying he's feeling compassionate. Now she's just seen lean and thin, and the princess of King Janak. King Janak is one of our 12 Mahajans. And of course, she is his internal potency, and lean and thin and matted hair and neglected and tortured by the Rakshasis and all of that. felt very compassionate, but at the same time stood at a distance. And she was bewildered by that conduct. My dear Lord, please receive me. I cannot. So the situation of her being tested by fire, we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita that there's a version of one of the Puranas. Which Purana? Huh? Skanda Purana? That Lord Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya found and brought back to the Brahmana, where it was a false Sita. So Agni appears and brings the real Sita. And Ramachandra accepts her, saying, I had no doubt of your fidelity, but there are people in this world that would malign you and me and the kingdom that we will in the future rule together. Now no one can say such things. Of course, someone said such things. But I did this so that there would be no question over your character nor mine. For a king should rule in that situation. And along with Agni, at least in the Valmiki Ramayana, Indra also came. If you remember, there's a scene way back when Ramchandra is entering into the forest outside the hermitage of Sutikshna. He sees a celestial chariot off in a distance. He tells Lakshman, you guard Sita, I'm going to go closer and see what this is. And they were having conversation. It was Sutikshna and Indra. Suddenly the celestial being turned, saw Ram coming, and immediately vanished with his chariot, with the understanding that Indra had said, oh, that was Indra, and he said, now is not the right time. So the right time came. Indra came. And Ramchandra requested Indra to bring all the Vanaras back to life who had died. And even those who had been dismembered, parts of their body had been broken from the rest of their body. Please make them whole again and make them forget that they had died. And Indra said, well, this is pretty exceptional kind of request, but because you're asking, we'll do it. And he made them whole again. All the soldiers that had given their life. Just to highlight this compassion, that the next verse speaks of Vibhishan being installed on the throne, since Ravana is now gone, Vibhishan next in line and qualified because he's a devotee of his Vaishnav, devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So similarly, what Krishna wanted was to install a qualified king. That's why he had descended. Vinashaya Shaduskritam. So then established proper king. The next morning, after the royal installation, now Vibhishan is the king of Lanka, and he wanted to have a royal morning bath and morning meal for Ramchandra. Now that he's the king, he has access to these resources. And Ramchandra refused, saying, how can I accept royal opulence while my brother is living in tree bark with matted hair and eating roots and whatever forest vegetables he can gather? Now we're going to hear in just a moment, the Bhagavatam version is slightly different, but that's okay. The at the very beginning of this whole section of Ram's Leela, this ninth canto section, Shukadeva Goswami says, when he's asked by Maharishi Parikshit to narrate the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, he says there are many versions. I only select the authentic ones, or from the authentic ones. And I'll only present in synopsis. So there's sometimes detailed discrepancies between one narration and another. And one way to regard those differences of narrations, there may be other reasons also, but different forms of Lord Ramachandra, different incarnations, different times. And it's also sometimes there are different narrators. I remember hearing, for example, Prabhupada speak of when they're building the bridge, and Prabhupada used the example of a spider was kicking pebbles to help build the bridge. And Hanuman, get out of the way. So there's another version, of course, more popular. I believe it's the Tulsi Ramayan version that says squirrel. But it's the same principle. The detail of this one, that one. So similarly, Bharat Maharaj, or Lord Bharat, my brother Bharat, is eating very simply. How can I have a royal meal? I can't accept. I'll take my bath in the cold river as I've always done, until Bharat is properly situated. And then he requested Vibhishan, as a service that you can do instead of royal bath and royal garments and royal meal. All the soldiers that now Indra has revived from the dead, and all the other soldiers that are assembled, reward them amply with gold, jewels, and precious items, and feed them sumptuously, because the army of the king should be taken care of. They're risking and sacrificing their lives for the king. The king should extend that kind of care to them. Then he made another request of Vibhishan. The request was, please consider how to very quickly convey me from Lanka back to Ayodhya, because the 14 years are almost now past, and I can only imagine how my brother Bharat and how Kaushalya and the other queens will be in great anxiety. Who knows, they may not even be able to maintain their lives. I must get back very quickly. He's considering their welfare. So Vibhishan summons Pushpaka. Doesn't say how he did it. Called Pushpaka, and Pushpaka came. And of course, it's the Vimana, or the celestial airplane of Kuvera, that when Ravana invaded the heavenly planets, he really liked that airplane, so he made it his. It was one of his, kept it in his parking lot for whenever he wanted to go for a ride. So Vibhishan knew how to summon Pushpaka. Pushpaka came, and Ram was then ready to ascend to the vimana, and they're feeling, so this is the transcendental mood of separation. Vibhishan, Sugriva, Hanuman, all the Vanaras, they've risked their lives to help Ram regain Sita. Now Sita's with Ram and they're about to leave. And Sugriva breaks down, says, please don't leave without us. Please take us with you. At least until you become crowned emperor of Ayodhya. And then we'll go back to Kishkinda, all of us. So Ram immediately agrees. And then at that point, the description is the vastness of the Pushpaka is like a city with streets and avenues and tall buildings, and there was room for all the Vanaras and everybody. And Ram said, Vibhishan, you come too. Come with us. So the Vimana starts to ascend, and as it happens again and again in Ramayana, the story is retold again as they're passing over the battlefield. Ram points to Sita where different battles were taking place, and we're hearing yet again this battle with this person, that battle between this person, that person. And then there Pushpaka is traveling over the ocean, and in reverse Ram is saying all the challenges that Hanuman met as he was trying to cross over to Lanka the first time, honoring Hanuman. Then they pass where the monkeys first left. Hanuman leapt where Sampati? That's his correct name? Sampati? Showed the Vanaras the correct way. And like that, they're just retelling all the narrations. And they fly towards Kishkinda. And the Pushpaka Vimana comes in for a landing. And Ram says to Sugriv, get your queen and bring your dear relatives and ministers. They can come too. So they won't feel they're unable to participate for some reason. And then Pushpaka ascends again, and Ramchandra wishes to stop and pay his respects to Bhardraj Muni. Of course, Bhardraj Muni has capacity that an ordinary person doesn't have. He knew Ramchandra was coming. He eagerly wanted to hear all the events that had taken place since they had last seen one another. So, in a short version, they're narrated again, step by step by step. Bhardraj Muni is so moved by the exploits of the heroism of Lord Ram. He explicitly speaks of him as the personality of Godhead. He tells him of the well-being of the kingdom. Bharata has very faithfully ruled, never becoming overwhelmed with the position of power and opulence and fame that comes with being the king. He has steadfastly maintained himself in complete dedication to you, Lord Ram, and they're very anxious that you return. Messenger has gone to inform them that you will be coming. So please go quickly. So that Pushpaka Vimana ascends again, and they approach the residential place where Bharata was making his little cottage some 2 miles away from Ayodhya. And Ram turns to Hanuman, because Hanuman not only was the obedient servant of Ram, but a super qualified minister, as Sugriva had deployed Hanuman as his minister to find out, is this Ram and Lakshman, who are these two carrying bows and arrows, but they're dressed like mendicants, who are they? This must be a trick, kind of. So Ram similarly, he didn't say directly, but he indicated, and that was sufficient for Hanuman to understand, just by indication, that my brother, for 14 years, he's ruled this opulent kingdom of Dasarath from the Sun Dynasty, very powerful ruler, very opulent kingdom. Maybe over all those years he's now become a little attached to rule the kingdom. So if that's the case, let him continue ruling the kingdom. I'm sure he's doing excellent. And if he wishes, then I can accept the rule. Whatever it is that he wants. Detachment. Looking for the welfare of the citizens with detachment. So Hanuman immediately understands his mission and zoom, 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 leaping, big leaps, heading towards the residence of Bharat. And he can tell who is Bharat in the whole assembly. The ministers were also dressed in same tree bark and matted hair and living like Bharat was living, because they weren't going to place themselves above Bharat, and Bharat wasn't going to place himself above Ram. So they're living in this hermitage, enclave. But Bharat is simply engaged in one activity, chanting Ram's name incessantly, with one hand holding his beads and the other hand holding his heart, feeling great pain and separation from him. So immediately Hanuman could understand that's Bharat. And he went straight before him, and in his monkey form, because he had the capacity to show other forms, but he showed his monkey form. And then he stood with folded palms before Bharat and said, I've come with a wonderful message. Your elder brother, Lord Ramachandra, is soon going to arrive right here at your hermitage, and he's very eager to see you. He knew his mission, so he's looking to judge the countenance, the face, his expert. Just like when Vibhishan came, you know that situation when Vibhishan left Ravana's side. He advised him again and again and again and again and too many times. Something like Vidura advising Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, don't do this. Just give Sita back. Just give Sita back. It's all over. It's over. Ram will honor you. You'll rule the kingdom. Everything will be all right. Just do that one thing. No. So when he understood his brother was foolish and would not take advice, he left and went to, soaring through the air with four other ministers, went to the place where Ramchandra was standing at the southern shore of India, looking at Lanka. And there was this whole discussion about what to do. Ram turned, as a king will do, he turned to his ministers, what do you advise? Sugriva said, I don't trust him. He's got to have some motive. Who knows if he actually wants to be with you and help you. He wants something. I don't trust him. And then other ministers said other things, this thing, that thing. And then Ramchandra turned to Hanuman. He was silent, waiting to be called upon. And when Hanuman was called upon, he said, "You can see by his face and by hearing his words, he has surrendered to Lord Ramachandra. There's not duplicity in that." He went on, "There may be some motivation. Maybe he wishes to become the successor of Ravana, who he understands is doomed. He's finished. So he would like to give proper rule to the kingdom. But we should not fault him for that. The main thing is, he wishes to genuinely be with Ram and serving Ram and assisting Ram, so he should be accepted." And it's at that point that Ramchandra made this often quoted statement. He looked at everybody and said, "Please hear this very clearly. For one who even once sincerely takes shelter of me, from that day forward, I promise him my protection, and he shall never be conquered." So similarly, Hanuman was studying the countenance of Bharat. When Bharat heard that Ram was due to come back, he was so overwhelmed with joy and elation, he fainted. Patiently, Hanuman revived him, and when he became revived, just happiness was being expressed again and again, and at last, "My brother has come for bringing this good news. I wish to reward you. Gold and jewels," and he mentioned, you know, "thousands of beautiful maidens." I don't know what a monkey's going to do with the thousands of beautiful maidens. The bearer of good news is appreciated. The bearer of bad news isn't a good position to be in. But sometimes it has to happen. But we should be very, certainly very cautious, if not reluctant, to be the bearer of bad news. Because feelings are connected with the news that's then connected to the person delivering the news. These days, people like saying bad things. "Oh, you know what? This bad thing happened." And it's shocking. Anyway, that's Kali Yuga. Cultured people are not like that. Cultured people, they wish to bear good news. And he could understand immediately Bharat's heart by his face, by his words, by his conduct. And he said, "Our mothers, the queens, will be so joyful to hear this news. Ram has come. Send a messenger quick to inform them, and bring the ministers. Bring Vashishta. Rather than Ram coming to us, they should come here." And make all arrangements. So Hanuman said, "I will see that water is brought from all the holy rivers of all the land, and from the four seas and the four directions." And the northerly direction from there is really far, Arctic Ocean. Anyway, so golden vessels were given to Hanuman, and the Vanaras were then sent, because they were not so far away, they were sent in all directions, leaping and running to gather the water for the coronation of Ram. And the next morning, the leading personalities of Ayodhya came. So let's read a little bit what the Bhagavatam says about this. after giving Vibhishan the power to rule the Rakshasas for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana, and a few other tens of thousands of other people. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow. Now, some of us are doing some Kartik Vrata. I doubt if it's that austere. And this is 14 years, it's not just a Kartik Vrata. And he's the king for 14 years. He was very lean. Covering his body with the bark of trees and wearing matted locks of hair and lying on a mattress of kusha, the most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandagram. Lord Bharat was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. The other morning, he saw Balaji Darshan, and we found out later that Revati Raman had to pay a very high price for the special darshan, that because you could stand there for like several, almost 5 minutes. That never happens, but it happened. And Balaji was wearing an outfit that was, the thread was gold, and on the golden thread were diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all kinds of precious jewels. Revati said it's that particular outfit is worth something like $8 million. You know, sometimes we make deity outfits that have sequins sewn on them, and every now and then some sequins fall off. This was diamonds may fall off, or pearls may fall off, or plus that big emerald that's in his hand giving benediction. But the opulence of Ayodhya, the horses had ropes made of gold. The chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor. Servants bearing betel nut, and we don't know why they were here, but many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Somehow they got into the assembly. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with his tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshmana, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned Brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family. And all of the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. There's different versions, but in Valmiki Ramayana, they then get on Pushpaka. This has taken the whole day, these festivities, and Bharat is carrying this, and we're going to hear Hanuman is carrying the white umbrella and so forth. They get back on the Vimana, and it's now evening time, Amavas, the dark moon. And as they're approaching Ayodhya, all the other remaining citizens in Ayodhya who were unable to come with that entourage to greet him, because it's night, they have their lamps in honor of Lord Ramachandra. That's what we're celebrating this evening. Deepavali, the row or lines of lamps, and the Pushpaka Vimana descends before the palace of Dasarath. So here's a slightly limited version of all of that. O King, this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishan carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. The Vanaras had gathered the water very quickly. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and the planets. So now they're heading back for the capital city. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival, Diwali. When he entered the palace, he offered his obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi, and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and especially his own mother Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vishishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshmana and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, immediately arose like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. Because Bharata, although his mother was in the palace, he was living 2 miles away. And for those 14 years, she was not having his association. And Shatrughna, of course, was by his side. So the mothers are feeling, this is ecstatic. This is this mood of long separation, now again meeting. like Krishna returning to Vrindavan or something like that. We have that chapter in Canto 1 of Krishna being away from Dwarka. Of course, it wasn't 14 years. And then now he's going back to Dwarka, having enthroned Yudhisthira as a king. So the same ecstatic mood. The although it's just the first canto, Bhagavatam, it's very important in awakening or churning the emotion of feelings of attachment and feelings of separation, feelings of being reunited. Of course, at the center is the personality of Godhead. So the Leela has that element. Attachment with the Supreme Lord. And what's it like when one is attached to the Supreme Lord and then he's away? When love is there, it's one moment seems like 12 years or more. And it's actually, you know, yuga, a moment. So one can only imagine the ecstasy of the residents of Ayodhya seeing Lord Ramachandra coming back. And the mothers, their parental affection. Very similar to the Leela of Devaki and Vasudev. After 12 years, Krishna came and relieved them of their pain of separation. What to speak of, relieved the, you know, them of the oppression of Kamsa. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with their tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vishishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks and hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed Abhishek for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Just two more verses and we're done. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. In the Valmiki Ramayana, again, Indra is present, and Indra offers a gift of a celestial garland. It's made principally with pearls, but interspersed with the pearls are celestial ornaments never seen on earth before. And he places that celestial necklace around Ramachandra's neck. Without hesitation, Ramachandra takes the necklace and places it around the neck of Sita. Smiling, Sita just looks at Hanuman and nods. She doesn't have to say anything. He understands what she wants. He comes immediately, bows his head, and she takes this celestial necklace and places it around Hanuman's neck. And everyone roars in approval of this gesture of loving exchange. So, of course, the coronation is a very elaborate section of Valmiki Ramayana. Here it's one little verse. And then the verse that we chanted together is Lord Ramachandra then began to rule. And how did he rule? The verse says, he regarded the citizens like a father regards a child, their own child. And the citizens regarded Ramachandra like their father. So there was protection, care, affection, and all those nice parental feelings, and obedience and submission and enthusiastically willing to serve the king. And the other, what Prabhupada spends most of the entire purport discussing, is the importance of the citizens were followers of Varnashram. Very carefully. This is actually protection. And it's certainly much easier to protect someone who wants to be protected than somebody that doesn't want to be protected. And a symptom of one who wants to be protected is they take the means of protection. And the means of protection is the Varnashram system. Dharma Rakshita Rakshataha. You've heard that one before? That's very nice. Dharma Rakshita Rakshataha. One who is protector of Dharma is protected by Dharma. So it's like a really nice sutra. Krishna spoke that. Of course, he didn't originally. He referred to that in one pastime where very similar, the position of Varnashram in Krishna's pastimes as a small boy was he accepted the role of the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and their occupation, Vaishya occupation, was taking care of cows. Krishi Gorakshavanijam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. But especially cows. When I was in America, I had this discussion with a college student at a little, like a Krishna house center near, right across it from the campus. And she was like new. She was a first year student, had been there for 2 weeks, and she came to the program the evening before. It's like, you know, completely new. And I asked her, why did she decide to come? She said, well, I saw on the advertisement a message that said Bhakti Yoga based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And my mother, when she was very young, she had a Bhagavad Gita. She used to read Bhagavad Gita. But my mother is a Christian Scientist, which is like a particular, unique, kind of rare version of Christianity. So, I'll get back to Diwali in just a moment. But just, it's interesting. So, I said, that's really nice. You know something about Christian Science and you'd like to learn something about Krishna's message of Bhagavad Gita. I said, yes, exactly. So, let's do a little comparison. I don't know so much about Christian Science and you do. And you don't know so much about Bhagavad Gita and I do. So let's just, you know, see what Christian Scientist says about different things. So when it got to what's the ultimate destination, if you become like perfect in Christian Scientist, where do you go? What happens? He said, well, she didn't have too much to say about it. He said, well, do you believe that there's a place you go? Well, a place, but not exactly a place, but a place, but not exactly a place. It was like really unclear. I said, okay. Let me tell you what Krishna says. You achieve like the topmost that you can achieve in following the message of Bhagavad Gita, and you'll go to a spiritual place that's eternal, like this place. Even heaven, according to Bhagavad Gita, is created and destroyed after some time. But there's another place that's not created and not destroyed. And you know what's there? Not only Krishna's there, but there's lots of cows. She said, no. Why no? Krishna likes cows. Ooh, you know, Govinda. His name is one who gives pleasure to the cows. And Gopal protects cows. He likes cows. You don't like cows? So I like cows, but, you know, God doesn't have cows. So why not? Not cows like these. But, you know, cows that aren't, they don't take birth and they don't die. And they're Suravi cows. And they can supply unlimited quantities of them. I said, oh, come on. Why not? Anyway, you wanted a comparison. Your idea is, well, it's not exactly, but it is, but it isn't, but it is, but it isn't. It's like it's not clear what it is. That's the real reality. Well, you know when you get there. Okay, supposing some people get there. Will they have the power to send a message back to you and me and say, this is what it's like? So she couldn't say no. Said, well, there are people that have that power, and this is the message. It's called, you know, scripture. And here, you know, over on the shelf over here, Srimad Bhagavatam, it tells all about it. I remember when I was a little boy, like, you know, you grew up in Christian Science family. I grew up in a different kind of Christian tradition, and I used to ask, what's it like? And nobody knew. But that literature says what it's like and how it can convey it through sound vibration. Just have to have your receiver on. It's not imagination. It's not fiction. Not mythology. It's the realm of perfected beings. The realm of Krishna. The abode of Krishna. So I've gone past my time. It's time to offer a lamp to Damodar. I'll just do this pastime with Krishna in the cows. So, Krishna appeared in the prison house of Devaki, but by his own arrangement he was transferred to the palace of Nanda and Yashoda. And when he was in Brahmana and Kshatriya families, when boys are 5 years of age, they go to school. And in Vaishya families, they go work in the field and they take care of the cows. But when Krishna was 3, the ripe old... How old are you? What's your age? How many? 16? 6. I was joking. 6. When Krishna was 3, he said to his mother, I want to go take care of the calves. And she said, you're too little. You're just 3 years old. But he was very determined. So Mother Jasoda didn't know what to do, so she went to Nanda Maharaj. And he wouldn't take no for an answer from Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj made a deal. To tell you what, the cows are so big. This is Gopal Champu. The cows are so big. You just take care of the calves. But Krishna was okay. I want to take care of the calves. So the family was very happy because this is Dharma. Not only they're taking up the family occupation, but it's Dharma. The Dharma for Vaishyas is taking care of cows, and their son wants to take care of cows at 3 years old. How wonderful. So they had a big festival to inaugurate Krishna going out to take care of the calves. People came from all over bearing gifts. One gave Krishna his first buffalo horn. So he could call the calves when they strayed here and there. Someone else gave him a rope that he could carry around his shoulder and tie around the neck of one of the calves that wouldn't stay with the rest of the calves. And Krishna, when he was 3 years old, according to Gopal Champu, he got his first flute. Now, fruit is his, in the language of Bhakti Siddhanta, his cher ami, his dear friend, his constant companion. But it's a lila. He got his first flute. And Mother Yashoda had a very special gift. I think you've heard this pastime before. A pair of shoes. Those ethnic pointy shoes that curl up at the end. Like in Rajasthan, they're very popular. Now they put little mylar or mirror squares on them, sewn on. Right? But then it was jewels. So she had these little special shoes for Krishna. And a cowherd boy with an umbrella decked with jewels. So he wouldn't get scorched in the heat of a three-year-old little boy taking care of cows or calves. Krishna refused. He said, our livelihood, our life, is to give protection to the cows. How can I accept something the cows don't have? If you want me to accept these shoes and this umbrella, then you make shoes for every one of Nanda Maharaj's calves. Four. Because they're 4 feet. And a cowherd boy for each of the calves to carry an umbrella. And Mother Yashoda said, but Lord Narayan, he's already arranged for shoes. Like the calves, they already have shoes, haven't you seen? Have hooves. They have their shoes already. And as far as the heat, they're accustomed to the heat. They do it all the time. They have little hairs on their body and they're okay. They don't mind. So then Krishna referred to this verse, Dharma Rakshata Rakshataha. One who protects Dharma is protected by Dharma. I will not accept these gifts unless you make this other arrangement. And he didn't accept the gift. He went out in his bare feet, herding the calves with the cowherd boys. So this whole section in the purport is discussion about Varnashram and its relevance, its importance in helping one to achieve the goal. What's the goal? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. The purpose behind all of the things that we do is to awaken our devotion for Krishna. Because when you have devotion for someone or something, you'll think of that someone or that something. The miser is thinking of his money. The addict is thinking of whatever the thing is that they're addicted to. The devotee is always thinking of Krishna because of attachment. And just as we're doing on Diwali evening, speaking of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, that's how one develops that attachment. That's the way by which attachment to the Supreme Lord to assist us is the principles of Varna and Ashram. So the followers of Ramachandra, they were there already. They were followers of Varna and Ashram very nicely. But most importantly, they were attached to Lord Ram. So it was very easy for Ram to lead them. And it was very easy for them to follow Ram. So it's a perfect symmetry. So I think we're going to end abruptly and go offer lamps to Lord Damodar and fill our life with Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.